I wanted to share some scriptures that actually declare God's fatherhood. There's so many, but I just took a few to give you the understanding that God is the creator. He's the father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's the father of everything that is good. I want somebody to get excited here for a minute and say amen with me. God is the father of everything that is good. In James, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Every good gift, every perfect thing comes from our Father above. Yeah. Corinthians, Paul says, blessed be God, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. So today, if you know Jesus and if you know God as your Father, then you have a God who is full of mercy and full of comfort when you need it. The psalm says he's a father to the fatherless. Maybe you were an orphan. Maybe you never knew who your father was. The Bible says God is your father. He's the father of the fatherless, a defender of the widows. Maybe you're a widow this morning. God is your father. He's a defender. And in Ephesians, it says, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He's the father of every spiritual blessing. Somebody say, he's a good, good father. Amen? Hallelujah. And so I want to wish all of our dads a happy Father's Day. First, we wanted to wish God a happy Father's Day. Yeah. So I got a little bit of humor here from some children who wrote notes to their dads. I'm not sure if it was on Father's Day, but these are actual notes that were given by little kids to their fathers. I love this first one. It says, dear Dad, why do I have to eat my vegetables? Did Mommy tell you that? Because if she did, you do not have to listen. She's not your boss. Here's another one. Dear Dad, can I please take karate? I promise I won't hit you. And I could use it to fight off the robbers. This is to Mom and Dad. This is really cracks me up. Dear Mom and Dad, I love you. Mom is a good cook, and Dad, you are good at waking up. Amen. At least Dad's good for something. Somebody say amen. Children were asked, why do you think Dad is cool? Matthew, age 13, says, because I can beat him at all the games. And when do you think Dad is funniest? This is Emily. When he laughs at his own jokes. And so today we need to honor our earthly fathers, not because they are perfect. There's no perfect father on earth. Somebody say amen. But they have provided for us. They've protected us. They've loved us. They have prayed for us. And hopefully, they taught us valuable lessons about what is really important in life. Being a father is a very big job. So is being a mother. But today is Father's Day, so we're going to work with the fathers right now, and the dads, and the men. Being a father is a big job. It's not just about having a baby. Somebody say amen. Amen. Being a father is a lot more than just being a biological dad. There are a lot of men who are good fathers who are not biological dads because they are spiritual fathers. My father-in-law, Angela's dad, ministered to me and mentored me for 15 years. 15 years. I sat on his ministry. I worked with him. And what a blessing it was to have Pastor Moriello be an influence in my life and be a spiritual mentor to me. I hope you've had somebody like that in your life. But not every man is a dad. There are some who can't have children. There are some for other reasons, just never had children. But I want to say this emphatically this morning. Every one of us men can be a spiritual role model to somebody. We can be a spiritual dad. We can be a mentor. We can be a big brother. We can be an uncle to, or a cousin or whatever, to somebody who's floundering, somebody who's hurting, somebody who needs to see a godly example I can't think of a better calling or a greater challenge than to be a real man of God. Hallelujah. The world needs examples of godly men more than ever. There's a verse in the Bible I want you to see in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, if you'd like to write it down. Verses 15 and 16. 1 Corinthians 4, 15 and 16. This is Paul the Apostle speaking. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you, I gave you birth, literally, the word he uses, through the gospel. Therefore I urge you to imitate me. So here Paul, who incidentally never had any children, he was a man that, as far as we know from studying the Bible, he was single, didn't have any children, as far as we know. But he's telling the Corinthian church where there's problems. This is a church that he helped to found. He helped found the Corinthian church. So he was sort of a father to the church. Are you with me this morning? But there were problems that arose in the church. There were cliques that people were elevating certain speakers and certain other apostles who they thought were sharper than Paul, more intellectual than, more impressive than Paul. And some will say, I'm of Apollos. Others say, I follow Peter. He says to them, is the church divided? Isn't Christ one? How in the world can you become so sectarian? Somebody say amen. We're not following men. We're following Christ. And they actually ridiculed Paul. You read the book of Corinthians. The book of Corinthians is written to correct some very serious problems in the church. And Paul is literally like pouring out his heart. He's having to plead with them. He's having to intercede for these people. And he's really brokenhearted. Because some of them said that, well, your letters are very weighty, but in person, you're very unimpressive. In other words, they were talking smack about Paul. Come on, somebody, say amen. You know, you write nice letters, but you're not that impressive. And so he answers them. He says, you know, you have a lot of people maybe in life who were your instructors. And the word instructors there means a guardian, a governess or a governor, or somebody who was a caretaker for your life. In those days, they had servants who would help raise the children. They would be like a governor or a governess. And, you know, he says, you may have many of those around, but you only have one father. I'm your spiritual father. He says, because when I came to you and I preached the gospel to you, I gave you birth. And the word he uses there, I gave you birth, is the exact word for a biological father. He uses the word pateia in the Greek, which means someone who is literally a father to a child, is connected by blood. He says, I'm your spiritual father, but I'm as close as any normal, natural father. You may have many instructors, but I became your father through the gospel. He says, you do not have many fathers. And I'd like to just focus on that phrase for a minute. In this world, we do not have enough fathers. We do not have enough men of God. A lot of the problems in the world are because fathers abandoned their families. Fathers ran off with somebody. Father is in jail. Father's on drugs. Father's drinking too much. Jesus said, he said to Philip one time, he says, Philip, don't you know who God is? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. I want people to be able to say, Pastor, I know a little bit more about what God is like because I see your life. I'm not there yet. I'm not even close to being there. But men, I challenge you. Don't you want your nieces and nephews and your children and grandchildren and the neighbor next door? They may not even be related to you, but you want some people around you and say, you know what? That man's a real spiritual father. That man is a good example. I want to be like that. I want to go to him when I'm in trouble. I want to find a counsel and encouragement from that person. He's saying to the Corinthian church, when I came to you with the gospel message, it was like me giving birth to you. I gave you birth because now, after you receive Christ, you're like my spiritual children. And God has done something. Here's Paul still speaking, and I'm kind of putting it in plain English. He's saying, since that time, God has put you on my heart. You can say whatever you want to say about me. You can say I'm unimpressive. You can say, Dad, you're old-fashioned. Have you ever had your kids tell you, Dad, you're way out of... Come on, I hear a lot of laughter. A lot of laughter in the house. Yeah. Dad, you're not with it. Come into the 21st century, Dad, you know? But Paul says, you can say whatever you want, but God has put you on my heart. And I have a love for you that will never let go. Hallelujah. I love you in a way that I will love you to death, to the point of death. God has commissioned me to care for you. God has anointed me to teach you. God has called me to correct you when you're wrong with love, to help you to grow healthy and strong in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God, and in favor with men. Let the church say amen. The definition of that word pateia, which is the word father for natural father in the Bible, biological father in the Greek word pateia, means someone who nourishes, protects, and upholds no matter what it takes. Someone who is nourishing, protective, and will uphold somebody no matter what it takes. So in the spiritual sense, any Christian man can do this. Any Christian man can do this. And it's not just about children either. I've got some guys right now that I'm on the phone with that are very close in age to myself, that I'm still trying to mentor. I'm still trying to encourage. It's not just about, you may say, well, I don't have any young people around me. I don't have any youngsters. It's not just about youngsters. You can mentor people who are older too. Somebody say amen. And by the way, this is true of women, too. I know this is Father's Day, but I want to say women, don't check out, because everything I'm saying here about fathers applies to women, too. Women can be great mentors for other women and role models and spiritual moms. Somebody say amen, spiritual moms. I've had some spiritual moms in my life. I don't want to get, you know, too far afield here, but I can tell you when I was a young pastor visiting some of the older people in the church, I had some moms in the church who took me on the wing and would tell me some things. I would go to serve communion or go there to pray with them. I was like 25 years old, and they were 80 years old. And they would, you know, be very patient, courteous. You know, they're probably in their mind, they could say, this guy doesn't even know what he's doing. He's wet behind the ears. But they were so kind to me, and they let me go ahead and make my mistakes and do what I had to do. And then at the end, they said, Pastor Dave, can I just tell you a few things? And they would give me pearls of wisdom, pearls, that to this day, I still remember. And I tell my wife, you remember what Sister So-and-so said to me? My own mother used to say to me all the time, Davy, she called me Davy. Davy, you need wisdom. She'd go like this, Davy, you need a wisma. Italian accent, that's my portrayal of an Italian accent. So anyway, I didn't get to say that on Mother's Day, but women, same challenge. Somebody say amen. It's the same challenge. Dr. Bill Bright, who the Dells, you know, have worked with that missionary organization, Campus Crusade, it's now called CRU. Dr. Bill Bright, the founder of that organization, was a father in the faith. He was a spiritual father. He had no biological children. He adopted some children. He adopted some children. But Dr. Bill Bright mentored and trained and fathered in the faith hundreds and thousands of men who are still changing the world today. Somebody ought to give God a praise in the house. I think you guys are being too quiet. Amen, Pastor Dave. I like that word. I got to make sure you're with me here. Now, some of you may have grown up in a dysfunctional family. It wasn't the best family. There was a lot of trouble. Maybe you saw examples of anger. You saw examples of parents acting immature, or parents who forsook you, or parents who were abusive. Unfortunately, there's a lot of that out there. You know what I'm talking about. But here's the good news. The Bible says, if anyone be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. We have been born again into a new family. Hallelujah. And we have a new spiritual DNA. Hallelujah. We have the blood of Christ. We have the blood of Christ that infuses us with a new DNA. Hallelujah. We are born again into a living hope, into a new family. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that in Christ we have been redeemed from the vain inheritance of our forefathers, as Angela mentioned before. In other words, you don't have to inherit the bad stuff from your ancestors. You know, Uncle Sam was a drunk, so that means you're going to be a drunk. You know, Mike, you know, your father was had a bad temper, so that means you're going to have bad. No, in Christ Jesus, we have a new bloodline. Hallelujah. In Christ Jesus, we have a new beginning. Somebody get excited in the house. And you can be the first one in a generation to start a new trend in your family. Hallelujah. Maybe your family was not even Christian. Maybe some of you come from a Muslim background or Hindu background or whatever. But now that you know Christ, you can be the beginner or the pioneer of a whole new generation of godly people. You can have influence. You can be the first to produce healthy generations of loving people who love God and love people and are willing to pay the price to be a good example. You can be that kind of person. You have influence. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have influence. You know that expression that says people, children will do what they watch more than what they're taught. Or to put it another way, they'll do what you do rather than what you say. So you're being watched. You have influence wherever you go, on the job, in your home, among your relatives, in your neighborhood. It's just a question of how will you use that influence? How will you use the influence God has given you? Start with your own family. If you still have children or grandchildren, do your best. Be the kind of man that your grandson or maybe a grandson of your brother, may not be your personal grandson, but somebody in your family can look up and say, you know, Uncle so-and-so or great uncle so-and-so is a godly man. Hallelujah. I'm telling you this morning, there are thousands of people out there who are looking for a good role model. Someone who will really care about them and be a consistent example. You might say, I didn't have that in my life. I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. I'm going to ask you to let Jesus heal that memory and start a new trend. You might say, well, my dad was angry or my dad did this or my, but you don't have to live there. That doesn't have to define who you are. Hallelujah. With Christ, all things are made new. Hallelujah. You can be the forerunner of generations of people, whether you even have biological children or not. You can go to the Big Brother program, or there's programs down in Orlando to be mentors, young boys who are looking for mentors. We have a critical spiritual vacancy in the world today. There is a vacancy of fathers. Paul said it so beautifully and powerfully, and it resonates in my mind and in my heart today. You do not have many fathers. There's a lot of instructors. Everybody wants to tell you, you know, oh yeah, I had that problem. Go there, do this. Yeah, try harder. I'll see you next week. That's not a father. A father rolls up his sleeves. Hallelujah. A father gets down in the ditch and helps you come up out of the ditch. He doesn't just stand there. I told you you were going to fall into the ditch. I told you you weren't going to amount to anything. Some of us have been scarred by words like that. Come on. A real father will pray for you. He'll cry with you. He'll roll up his sleeves. He'll get dirty, get down and help change that flat tire. Whatever he has to do to show you the love of God. Hallelujah. There was a young pastor who was involved in a jail ministry on Saturday mornings in the local county jail. This is a true story. As he would enter the jail each time, it would strike him of how is it possible that so many young men ended up in jail? What in the world happened in their lives to cause this jail to be filled with so many young men? And he actually went to the warden and he asked him this question. He says, what is it? What do you think it is? After observing these prisoners for so many years, warden, what do you think it is? Why are they here? And the warden said this. This place is filled with boys who got tired of waiting for their dads to keep their promises. Boy, if that doesn't wake you up, check your pulse right there. Tired of boys who were looking for a father, but their fathers failed them. And I'm not putting myself up here as, you know, the perfect example. But I want to tell you, we need spiritual fathers. I'm still trying. How many men here today will lift a hand with me and say, yeah, Pastor, I want to try. I want to try to be a spiritual dad. I want to try to be a mentor to somebody. I want to be an example to other men. Hallelujah. Brother Marshall, I just thought of something that at the school where you work, if I remember correctly, at your 80th birthday, this youngster here is 80 years old. Come on, give him a hand. He's 85 now. Well, I don't remember which birthday it was, but he's getting up there. And when people, and this is not in my notes. This is just, I'm just looking at him, and it just hit me. When people at the party got up to congratulate Mr. Marshall, so many of them pointed to the fact that he was a mentor to them. And the children, even at school, the principal, he works at the school as a driver and some other things. But he was working. I'm not sure if he still is. But the principal would send young men who were acting out to him to have him settle them down, talk to them, and just kind of calm them down as a dad figure, as a father figure. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Young men who grow up without the influence, here's some statistics that will sober you up. Young men who grow up without the influence of a godly father are 300% more likely to become incarcerated. And 35% more likely to experience marital failure because they didn't see the example of a good marriage. Now, for Christians, we don't have to be depressed about these statistics because we can have a change through Christ. Somebody say amen. We're not bound by those statistics. So on the positive side, young men who learn about male identity, responsibility, achievement, the healthy use of strength from a good father figure are dramatically more likely to become loving, nurturing husbands and fathers in their family. It just works that way. How about young women? Young women who grow up without a good father figure are 53% more likely to get married as teenagers. Unwed teenagers. 111% more likely to have children out of wedlock. And much more likely to run off with the first fool who says they love him, they love her. They need a father who can be discerning, or an uncle, or a cousin, or a grandfather. Say, that guy says he loves you, but I have some concerns about him. Don't you go running off with that fool. Somebody say amen. I'm talking like a New Yorker here. You can, it's all right. It's all right. Sometimes we got to get a little blunt. On the positive side, women who experience positive affirmation, godly affection. You know, this is so sad that I have to say this today. But young ladies need godly affirmation. They need a father, put their arm around them, say, honey, I'm so proud of you. You're so pretty. I can't wait to see what God has for your life. Honey, I'm so glad you're in my family. I'm so glad you're in our family. Oh, God, have mercy on us. That young women, so many young women are abused, they're sexually molested. God, have mercy on us. Help us, Lord. Women need godly affection, trustworthiness, a man that they can trust, a father figure. And when they do, they have been documented to have much higher self-esteem, more confidence, and as I said, much less likely to run off with the first person who promises to love her. And they're also more likely to marry trustworthy men because they saw an example of a good dad and a good marriage in their home. So today, as I close this message, I want to put forth a call and a challenge to all of us to become spiritual moms and dads. A friend, a big brother to some person, young or old. Don't be intimidated by the fact that you might lead somebody to Christ who's 50, 60, 70 years old, and you might think, well, I can't mentor this person. Yes, you can. Because God is not so much interested in a biological age as the age of maturity. How mature is that person? Amen? We have a lot of noise, a lot of confusion in our world, a lot of division. There are voices in our world that are crying out all kinds of crazy things. There are some good causes out there, too, like the cause of justice right now. We're trying to sort through all of the noise to see that there's a genuine problem in our country with racism. Somebody say amen. But all the noise and all the rioting and the looting and all of these things can actually distract you from the real issue. It takes a discerning, mature man of God, women of God, to take a youngster who is looking for a cause and say, that's all well and good that you have idealism in your heart. That's great. Let's fight for justice. But let's understand that there's a God in heaven and there's a Bible that is the ultimate principle that we follow. Hallelujah. Amen. There should be a big amen. God has given us values. He's given us principles to follow. Convictions. We need a father who is strong but also tender. We need men who can be men of conviction, men of courage, men who keep their word. Oh, boy, I'm preaching myself on the conviction right now. Men who will be a voice for hope in this world in a very, very difficult time. Will you step up? Will you step up? Men, whether you're 20 years old, 30, or 80 years old, will you be a voice for Christ? Will you be a voice for the truth? Women of God today, women who are in this house and are watching me, will you be a godly mom? Will you be a godly auntie? Will you be a godly cousin or whatever is needed in the world around you to model Jesus? I had a man in my life. Interestingly, I was brought up in a Christian family, but I didn't give my heart to Christ within the context of my family going to church. From the time I was born, I was brought to church. Follow me. But it wasn't until I was 17 years old and went away to a youth retreat upstate New York, Kingston, New York. Maybe there's somebody watching from Kingston, New York. And there at that camp called Hidden Valley, It was a man who was a godly man, but a real man. He was no sissy. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm probably going to get mail on this. And my point is this. My point is we need to see a balance of a man who could be courageous and strong, but also sensitive and tender and caring and loving. And the man who was the director of that camp, this youth camp that I went to, was a tall, big guy. He would drive a semi-trailer as his living. That was his livelihood. He was a truck driver. But he had this beautiful smile and tenderness and love on his face. And Sunday morning on Labor Day weekend, 1966, he preached about the love of God, and it just broke me down. It broke me down. I was a rebellious teenager, 17, going to church but sneaking out of church and doing my own thing on the side. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And God's love broke me down. It wasn't because he yelled at me. It wasn't because he threatened me. Is because he's a strong, courageous man of integrity stood up and talked about how tender the love of God, tears coming down his eyes. I gave my life to Christ. That was over 50 years ago, and I've never turned back. Somebody give God some praise in the house. If you have a pen or a pencil, write this down. I got five things I want to leave with you. Just going to read them. What you can do to mentor and to raise up godly people around you. Are you ready, church? All right, you got your phone, you can write on your phone, okay? I mean, do the whatever that is on the phone, the word program. Number one, what can I do to be a godly mentor? Number one, pray for them, pray for them, pray for them. Start with prayer. Amen? Start with prayer. Believe, help them to believe in prayer that God has a vision for their life. The number one thing you can do for somebody who is either a brand new Christian or not a Christian is pray for them that they'll understand that they're missing God's purpose for their life. God has a vision. God has a vision for their life. Pray for them to believe that God has a vision for their life. Are you with me? Number two, love them unconditionally. Love them unconditionally. Don't you let your love stop when they mess up. Don't lose your temper. Show acceptance. And even if you have to correct, do so in love. So many children have been lost because of the harshness of their father. And the Bible says, you know, children obey your parents. But then it says, parents, do not be harsh with your children. They will become discouraged. Am I talking about the Bible? Is anybody agreeing with me here? That's what the Bible says. So love them unconditionally. Number two, when they mess up, don't reject them. Show them acceptance and correct them in love. Number three, sacrifice. It takes sacrifice for them to see that you're real, that you're for real. Sacrifice your time and comfort. Be with them. When Jesus called his disciples, the first thing the Bible says in the book of Mark, it says, he called these 12 to be with him. The first thing you got to do in order to mentor somebody is to have a relationship with them. Hello? Got to spend time with them. Guide them. Instruct them. Pray with them. Laugh with them. Cry with them. Whatever it takes. Let your life be rubbed off on them. Don't just preach at them. Be with them. Everybody say that with me. Don't just preach at them. Be with them. Sacrifice. Sacrifice your time and comfort. Number four, be an example by your words and action about what is most valuable in life. Be an example by your words and actions about what is most valuable in life. And some of you out there thinking, well, I didn't have somebody like that for me. I didn't have a dad. I didn't have a role model. And again, I want to just remind you that Jesus, with Jesus, you can be healed of those hurts. You can be healed of those memories. And you could start this. You could start this. You can be the forerunner of generations. And then finally, number five, tell them the truth. Remind them there are no shortcuts to maturity. And I love this. There are no shortcuts to doing something great and being great. There are no shortcuts to doing something great. And you know what? There's a lot of people out in the streets right now that are rioting, that are causing trouble. And there are others who are absolutely righteous in the way they're protesting. We want to give credence to that as well. But so many people would benefit if we would be men of God. There are not many fathers. Paul said, you may have many instructors. Many instructors. Do this. I told you, you should have done that. That's why you fell. That's why you failed. But a father will take responsibility for the outcome of your life. Paul said, I became your father through the gospel. And no matter what you say to me, you can make fun of me. You could say Apollos is smarter. You could say Peter has more miracles. But I know I'm your father because God has put his love in my heart for you. And I am not going to quit on you. I am not going to give up. I'm going to pray until my last breath that you will succeed in being a man of God, a woman of God. In Jesus' name, let's stand together and give God the praise. Come on, give him some praise in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Angel, would you come up? Amen. What a good father we have. Maybe we could just sing a chorus of that, Brother Angel. Hallelujah. Thank you for watching today. I am so glad. I hope that you stayed with us through this service. And we appreciate you standing by. I pray that these words have meant something to you, that the Holy Spirit was able to speak to your heart wherever you are. God has a plan. He has a vision for your life. You are not an accident. Amen. I've even heard of some parents saying to their children, I wish you were never born. It sounds incredible that level of dysfunction. But in Jesus Christ, we are made new. All things are made new. Old things pass away. All things are made new. You got some hurts. You got some failure in your life. I've made my failures. I've done my failures. But that's not going to stop me or define me. I'm going to be on the offense. I'm going to go for being a man of God. I want to go for it. Hallelujah. Is there anybody else who wants to go for it? You're a good, good father.
It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
I want you to notice, we're going to sing this again, but I want you to notice how you're defined. That song says, I am loved by you, and that's who I am. That defines who I am. A lot of people are very proud of their birthright. I can trace my ancestry all the way back to George Washington, you know. That's cool. But I'm related to Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm loved by God, and that defines who I am. Hallelujah. You're a good, good father.
It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
You are perfect.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are.
One more time. You are perfect.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. To
what a good, good Father. Father, we thank you today, Lord. We don't have to be stuck in a rut where we are. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for those who love him. I believe today this message is going out to a lot of men, a lot of young men who need to understand that God does not see you as a failure. God has not expected you to fail. God is giving a vision, wanting to share with you a vision for your life that includes you becoming everything that you were meant to be in his eyes. Doesn't necessarily mean rich and famous, but I want to be a good child, good son in God's eyes. Amen? Maybe your earthly father isn't proud of you, but when you become a Christian, God embraces you as his own, and he is very protective and very proud of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to pray with the men right now who are willing to say, you know what? I want to be a good example. You're not saying that you're there yet. You're not saying you got it all figured out, but you're just saying, Pastor, I agree with you. I want to be a spiritual dad. I want to be a mentor. I want to see the hands while every head is bowed, every eye closed, even at home. At home as you're watching. Any man out there says, Pastor, I want to be a good influence. I want to be a spiritual dad. Grant it, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everyone said amen and amen. Pastor Angela.
You know, I have a word for you this morning. I feel like this was a hard message for you, but you were a spiritual father. A father has to give the discipline as well as the candy. And I know this wasn't personally easy for you, so I felt like the Lord was commending you to be obedient and to be a spiritual father today. Amen. You know, it's not always easy. Not easy. I love what Pastor said, too, to all God's sons and daughters. Remember, you have a DNA that's from your Heavenly Father. You have a spiritual DNA that's from your Heavenly Father. So don't feel like you've been, marginalized in life. Understand that you have royal blood flowing through your veins today. And that God not only gives you gifts, but he enables you to do it. Some of you may be saying, you know, I want to be a person of God. I want to be an influence, but I'm not capable. Join the club. None of us are. What his holiness demands, his love and mercy provide. We have a good daddy. He's a good daddy. So God bless you. Thank you for joining us today. Happy Father's Day to all of the dads, to all the spiritual dads, to all the fathers-to-be, to all the fathers that will one day be fathers. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Have a great day. We love you.